Christian, we may have missed an opportunity, you know, Bill up here leading prayer, having a newborn baby. We could have sang about the newborn baby in verse 2, being able to face uncertain days, all because he lives. Bill and them have 3 now. When they get 4, we want to talk to him about the future. There's a little thing called automobile insurance. There's a little thing called college education. There's a little thing called going crazy. So, open your books. We'll go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We were in 1 Thessalonians not too long ago and looked at a summary of it. I wanted to do it a little differently tonight, because it ties in with our lesson this morning and it ties in with our look at growing spiritually. And the Apostle Paul in this book, it's a unique and interesting book because even though he starts a theme to a congregation that he has left not too long ago, and he left Timothy there with them, and Timothy has now come to where Paul is and has given him an update on the church in Thessalonica and everything that Paul was hoping for and praying for proves to be exactly the situation in Thessalonica. And Paul is overjoyed, and so he writes about that when Timothy comes. But he doesn't change the theme of the letter. And the theme of the letter is given in the very first part of chapter 1, and it is contained in this verse. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father 3 things. And these 3 things have to do with their response to the gospel and their continued growth. And the 3 things that we remember and we thank God for are your work, which has been produced by your faith, your labor, which has been prompted by your love, and your endurance, which is brought about or inspired by your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all through this letter, those are the 3 recurring things that he talks about with regard to the church at Thessalonica. So we're going to break them down into the 3, and we're going to jump around the book of Thessalonians. I invite you to jump around with me. I'll show you where we're going with each one of them. But we'll take a look at, first of all, the works produced by faith. They believe in Jesus Christ. So what is that implying about their life? What is that implying about what they are now doing because they have this faith in Jesus Christ? This is what one of the 3 things Paul is thanking God for about them. It's the same thing characteristic of Paul, same thing characteristic of other Christians. And it's what Paul was looking for and hoping for in the church at Thessalonica, and he has it. And he offers proof of it. And so we'll look at verse 5, first of all, and he says this. In verse 5, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit. There's that word regeneration. It wasn't just words that they heard. Oh yeah, I believe that. It was words that changed their life. It was words that came with power in the way it impacted them and changed them. And it's words that came with the Holy Spirit, who's in the process of changing their life and regenerating them. And it brought about deep conviction. This is not something they're going to turn away from quickly and easily. This is not something that they're going to be in and out of because they're confused about who's telling the truth and who's right and who's wrong. When they heard the truth about Jesus Christ, their faith produced a work. And one of the first things it produced was this deep conviction because of the way they received the word, because of what they understood about what they were being taught. And he'll say a little bit more about that in a second. Verses 6 through 10. This work produced by their faith caused them to become imitators of Paul and the apostles, and it caused them to become imitators of Jesus himself. They began to live like him. Look at verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering. Listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ caused separation between them and other people. And it caused other people to want to do whatever they could to make sure these people didn't keep believing what they were believing. So it brought about a tremendous amount of suffering. And Paul recognizes that, but their labor, their work in regard to their faith, brought about by their faith, meant they didn't stop believing. And they wouldn't be persuaded even in the face of suffering. They were welcoming the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. They became individuals that people in other cities begin to look to as, well, that's what it means to be a Christian. And that's how we ought to be as Christians. And the Lord's message rang out from you. Whenever they heard the message and were convinced of it with this deep conviction, they shared it. They talked about it with other people. This is the work produced by their faith, what they were doing. You rang it out. It rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves are reporting to us what deep faith you have and what you're doing in response to God. This is how these new Christians were. When Paul left them, they were only a few days old. And Paul knew what they were going through because Paul himself was run out of town. And now Paul has been to Athens. Now he's come back to Corinth and he's concerned. And he's waiting anxiously for Timothy to come to tell him, how are they doing? And when he comes, he's going to tell him they're doing better than you even imagined, doing better than you even thought. In chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, you accepted our message, not as a message from human beings, but you accepted our message as if it was from God, which in fact, it really is. Read verses 13 and 14 with me in chapter 2, and this is what they say. We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it. Not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. I want to put in a little side note here. Sometimes in response to a sermon or in response to a class or a lesson, you'll hear a comment made, well, that was really a good Church of Christ lesson. And I cringe every time I hear that. Because I will think, okay, what do you mean by that? Let's get some things straight. If it is what the Bible teaches, then why don't we say that? This is a message that comes to us from God. But if it's nothing more than our traditions that really cannot be defended in the Bible, not with a good, clear look at the Bible, then it doesn't matter if we practice it or not. It doesn't matter if we hold to it or not. Let's go by what the Bible says. And if it's from the Bible, why don't we identify it the way these new Christians did? You received the message we delivered, not as the message from those old apostles, but as it is, in fact, a message from God, where God is actually and literally talking to us through his messengers, the apostles, and to us through the word of God. And that's what they did. A work produced by faith. Accepting God's word as what it was. And not dismissing it as something that I really don't have to pay attention to. And then verses 1 through 8. Timothy's already come. Timothy's been there. Timothy's told him. And now he knows that they're going beyond even what I thought. And this work produced by their faith is shown in the way they're living. And he describes that in chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. You are living the way we told you from God that you need to live to please Him. Now we ask you and now we urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Don't stop, but become more and more like Christ in the way that you live. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. That means set apart to be holy for God. That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in this manner no one should be wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but he rejects God, the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. These are the things they were doing because of their faith. This is what their faith was leading them to become in Christ Jesus. The second one, their labor, their work, prompted by love. It was motivated by love. It was brought about by love, love of God, love of Christ, love of His body. But they did some things prompted by love. Chapter 3, verse 6. Paul will talk about, first of all, his own benefit from their love. This is where Timothy comes, and he says this: "But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live since you were standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you? Your love for us. We were concerned about what all of the enemies that were saying things about us, how they would turn your heart and change your minds and your thoughts about us. But Timothy has just come and said, no, Paul, nothing could be further from the truth. They long for you. They miss you. They love you. And Paul knows the basis for that love. It's because of Jesus Christ. And he is overwhelmed. Verses 9 through 12 in chapter 4. Their love for one another. And he says this: "Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. And to make your ambition to lead a quiet, and make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." That's their labor prompted by love. We won't be a burden to anyone, but we'll be a helper to everyone. We will love everyone. We'll be careful about how we talk about each other. We'll be careful about how we react toward each other. And our reputation of how we love the brethren will spread as far as the brotherhood goes. Look how far it's come. We're still talking about it in 2018 in a country that was unknown at the time that it was written by those who belong to Christ. This is their labor, which is prompted by love. Chapter 5, verses 12 through 22. "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you." These are their leaders, their elders if they had them at the time. "Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. This is how you are to work with each other and the way we are to be toward each other. And then probably the one passage that is the better known of all the passages in the book of 1 Thessalonians. This one that describes their hope, which is inspired, which has inspired their endurance. They know where they're going. They know what's going to happen when they die. They know what's waiting for them after this life is over. And so they have an endurance where they will never quit and never give up because of their hope, because they know their hope is real and they know their hope is from God. So Paul writes in chapter 4, starting with verse 13, these words to the people at Thessalonica. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind that doesn't have any hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that you who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede nor go ahead of those who've fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that all who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. But he continues it in chapter 5. Look at verse 11, 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come upon them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief, because you're expecting it. You're longing for it. You're looking for it. You know it's coming. You are all children of the light and children of the day. That means they have the truth of God. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness where we walk by our own thoughts. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. There they are. Somebody so impressed they wanted to call in and say, could you repeat that? So if you'll turn that phone on and put it on voice or on mic, we'll just start over with our... I'm kidding. Here are the three things all summed up. What Paul says about the church at Thessalonica. Their work of faith, that means full conviction. Jesus is the Son of God. The Bible is God's word. And they have full conviction in that, and that is why it guides their life. If it's not guiding my life, then what is it about it that I don't trust? But if I know it's from God, and it must be true, and it will turn out just as God has said, then I will trust it if that's what I believe about it. And their full conviction that Jesus is the Son of God and the Bible is his word is what caused them to do the things they were doing based on that faith. They may become like Jesus, because of their faith in him and who he is. That's what they want to do. That's what they're striving to do, to become like Jesus. They leave sin and they come to God. They leave what's opposed to God's will. They put it aside. They leave it alone and they come to God. The second one, their labor of love. They love God. They love their neighbor. They love the brothers and sisters. And that love is shown in the way they treat each other, shown in the way they talk about each other, shown in the way that they care for each other. It's shown in the way that they try to help and not be a hindrance to any. Their labor of love is the second thing characteristic about them. And then their steadfastness of faith. They live for eternal. They never let anything stop them. They never let anything misdirect them. They're living for heaven. Those are the three things Paul saw in the church at Thessalonica. I see your work of faith. I see your labor of love. And I see your steadfastness, your endurance, which has been brought about because you know what you're hoping for. You know where you're going. You know what life is all about. This is how he wrote to the church at Thessalonica. You think that's a healthy church? You think that's a growing church? You think that's a faithful church? When Paul wrote this letter, it most certainly was. But things can change to move us away from our devotion to God, move us away from our devotion to his word, move us away from our desire to please him, and turn us toward a desire to please ourselves or to please others. And we need to make sure we watch and never let that occur and never let it happen. Let these three things be continually true of us. And may God help us to grow in each and every one of them. If you're ready to become a Christian, we can help you with that tonight. If you need to come home to Christ, we can help you with that. We invite you to come if you need to, as together we stand and as we sing.